Father, we open this precious book again. And Lord, it is great. It is so wonderful to study it. I can't, in my older age now, I'm overwhelmed about the things that you show us that's there. I've been there all these years, and yet somehow or another, you have to learn individual basis of things and the milk of God's word and begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then suddenly, as you study sections of the scripture, through the years, suddenly God brings and ties it together so you get a picture of what he's doing, the best that he could show us in our feeble minds about how real this book is and how real he is in the spiritual world, working in the physical world through us, who is his image, the born-again child of God, even closer to him as far as image than the physical flesh, because we've been birthed into the family of God, and one day we're going to spend eternity with him in a glorified body, fashioned like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But until that day, there's work to be done. Help us understand, Lord, this will make us, I think, greater soldiers. Make us serve you. Make us not only obey you in giving, obey you in our lives. It will do things for us if we will let God bring it to our heart like it is in the reality of things and what God's done. We'll see a love beyond just what we thought we saw reading John 3:16. And we'll ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to start with Colossians because we're going to talk about the creation of the angels first. Now, I want to go back and just hit those things we hit last week just a minute. I talked to you about an idea. An idea, we said, was a conceived thought. And this is the way the mind works. There's nothing else in physical life works like the human being's mind. Now, in the spiritual world, the angelic minds work. But in this world, there's nothing, everything, no animal, there's nothing else in this world works like our mind. What it can do. And that's one of the characteristics of being the image of God. And then we said, we slow it now to see how we learn about things, and that's how we're going to use, this is what's going to be happening as we look through the angels and also about the angels from the scriptures. This is the only textbook. And look from man from the scriptures. This is the only textbook, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the origin of man and what's going on. And so we talked about an idea, it was a conceived thought, which, and then the thought became a foundation of concept, which is the basic for that thought. You have a basis for a thought, what you begin to build on. And then you go from that to a theory. A concept is cultivated to a theory. A theory sets forth a philosophy. A philosophy searches for knowledge and wisdom to learn how to move off the base towards a goal that you use information of the mind to produce things. And then he said, of course, the philosophy forms the foundation of a belief system, and your beliefs and what you believe is what this is what motivates you to be active in your life. What you believe is what you're going to do. I guarantee you, everything you believe in the sense of really is important, you'll do it. As much as you can do it to a point. Some may do it better than others and more than others, but it'll be done because it all starts with an idea that has to do with knowledge. Now, when I go back and begin to look at the angels, I begin to see in Colossians chapter 1, I have to understand how do they come about. We say, we know God created them, but wait a minute, how did it happen? Did he do it like man? I mean, did he form out of some spiritual matter in the physical world, each individual angel, or did he do it like he called the animals into existence? Well, let's look at it. Look in chapter 1 Colossians, and we read verse 15, 16, 17, 18 down. He said, what's it? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Tell me who that is. Jesus Christ. We know that already from a study of the scriptures. So I don't have to go into detail that. He's talking about he is the firstborn. That is, when it comes to the child of God, when he rose from the dead, showing the resurrection, which in part is needed for the firstborn, then we become after him. Because if we be saved, you have to believe. It says, thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus was the firstborn. Now watch. Now, for by him, the firstborn, we know is Jesus Christ. Watch this. For by him were, what's the next word? All things created. Wait a minute now. We think about this earth. By him were all things created, either by the hand of God himself or through a system of laws that God. For instance, you and I were not created from the dust of the ground like God did Adam. But what God did do, set up a system of procreation where it would work with seed and conception and things in this life. And that pattern, the law of that pattern brings us into existence. So in essence, we're still of the hand of God, but we're through procreation where God created Adam directly from the dust of the ground and created Eve from his side. Are you with me now? Are you with me? So you can see that in even the fact that you and I are not like they were, we are like God set the order up to be born. And amazing thing about it is, even that, if God had created each one of us individually like it did the angels, not none of them would be alike. And if he had created us that way, not none of us would be alike, but in procreation through male and female, every child is born. There's none just alike that's ever been born. So I get in my mind clear as I approach these questionable things and get something about what God is doing in my mind, it helps me to put them in place. And then when I get to the place to compare the two, I can understand what God's doing. And by the way, don't forget, God has said we have the mind of Christ through this book. You remember that? Don't forget that. And he said, and Paul said to the church at Philippi, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. So all we're saying is that God has given us a book that gives us the mind of Christ, and if it's approached right, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't that we ourselves become Christ, but we become more like him as we head towards eternity and get the glorified body, and then our glorified body will be fashioned like unto, even the body will be fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on, he says, now for by him were all things created, watch, that are in the heaven and that are in the earth. Now, I don't know about you, that's about everything I know. Amen? I'm not looking, where else can I look? If I look into heavens, and he goes to the place, heaven of heavens, which is even beyond that, and the little planet earth and boondocks of the universe. So this is what we're looking at. This is where our evaluating the things of creation is going to come about. Then watch what he says. He says, and then that are in the earth, watch, the visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, watch this word again, all things were created by him and for him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So God is sending his word to Colossians through Paul that everything that's made was made by and for the Lord Jesus Christ. All things. All things. I don't care if there's things we never found yet. If they're found, he created them. So it's not going to block off and say, wait a minute, you don't know about this. We're 4,000, 6,000 years later and we found this. Now this can't be. No, I don't care. Everything you and I look at from time past to time to eternity, he will have created it. All right, now move on. And he says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, I don't know how in the world you get around any other thinking that Jesus, other than Jesus Christ as God, created what we see. Now, let me go back. Jesus Christ is God, the flesh. We've seen that last week. There's God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Someone said, but I think in places it says God himself created. Ladies and gentlemen, let me clear this to start with. You can say anything you want to say, but when God the Son or God the Holy Spirit or God the Father, either one of those says anything about creation, they all three were involved in it, but Jesus Christ, because they're one. But God is letting us see in the age of grace how powerful Christ is, that he can be our Redeemer. See, he knows that Satan's going to produce some type of God. But he's putting the emphasis on Christ. That's when he said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. He wants this earth to know, as far as humanity is concerned, there is no redemption outside of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he is God incarnating the flesh. God with us, Angel Gabriel said. So I've got that in my mind. I cleared my mind, no doubt in my mind, that everything I see created by him and for him. And God allow that in such a way because he's God in the flesh, part of the Trinity. And anything any part of the Trinity does, the others approve of, because as if they each one did it. Now, that's for me. Maybe you can't get that, but that's where I come from. Because I believe here in this case, he's talking about Jesus Christ for the purpose of letting humanity know that he is who he said he was and he can save our soul. Simple that. Now watch what he says. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All right. Now let me go back. When you talk about before all things, where did I start at? Where do we start at? Creation. You and I started Genesis 1 in creation about physical flesh, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then later from that, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we see creation as man. Well, wait a minute. That don't include the angels. So if he's in creation of all things, I can't only go back. He said, and he is before all things exist. So I've got to go back to Genesis 1 before creation itself as I know it. And then I got to realize when I get to Genesis 1, I got to go back further than that. Why? Because the angels were created before that. And that's why we're studying angels first. And you'll see in a few minutes, all these verses will come together to give us information how the angels are created. And so we go back when the angels were created, and then you go back beyond that, and there was nothing but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I'm looking at, as far as my time for understanding, time only with man, but in eternity past, I'm looking at God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. And there came a time we'll look at when God created the angels. And he had all that time of rebellion, Lucifer, and we hit it. And then there came a time God created matter in the beginning, created heavens and the earth, and then he created man. What day? What day did he create man? Sixth day. So you see, I'm getting in line where they're at. So now I know this, the angels were before Adam. Why? And I know this, that nothing exists before that. Before the angels were created, there's nothing exists except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? All right. Notice he said, and now, next 18 tells me why I believe that God emphasizes this so much by the Holy Spirit. He said, and he is the head of the body of the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn, that is again from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, where it be beyond this life, in this life, above this life, in the material world of elements that are made up of matter and molecules, or molecules which make matter and so forth, atoms, protons, electrons, and put all that together for matter. And then he said in verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it clears my mind that Jesus Christ, everywhere he said he created, that's what happened. Because God said, this pleased the Father. So I'm not going to try to change that. Well, you see, the Bible is contradictory because it may say God did it and Jesus did it and, you know, the Holy Spirit. No, the Father is saying this, what he told us about Christ, pleased the Father. So I'm getting in mind where he's at when he comes, but I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Now I want you to turn to him. We're talking about angels right now. So by chance, when he created all things for himself, the angels were created for him, and without him, nothing was created. So that means before the angels, there's nothing but God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you will, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 9. In Nehemiah chapter 9, you got a Scofield Bible, 550. Well, that's one of those that's not, you're not used to. Look down about verse 6. Here God is speaking through Nehemiah. And he said, thou, what's this now? He said, thou, O Lord, art alone. Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and watch and heaven of heavens. That means what you find beyond this heaven into space. He made it, right? Are you with me? What did he say? Thou hast made. He said, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou hast preserved them, and the host of heaven worship thee. Now, as I begin with, what is the host of heaven? It's got to be the angelic host. Because he goes back and talks about a little bit about the creation, but he goes back further than that, and he talks about he preserves them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. Now, if you turn with me to Psalms chapter 148. Psalms chapter 148, and look with me down about verse 2, 3, and 4. God is giving here the praises that he accepts from men. In verse 1, he said, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Watch this now. Praise ye him, all his angels. See that first of all. Isn't that amazing? He's talking about praising him. Not only is he talking about here the earth now, but when he comes to praise, he's going back even to when the angels were created. He said, praise the angels. Then watch. Praise ye the host, his host. Now he talked about the sun, the moon, the stars of light, verse 3. That ye heavens and heavens and ye waters that above the heavens. Watch verse 5 though. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Now watch the next phrase. For he commanded and they were created. What happened? back in the angelic day, as he talks about all this was created, whether it be this earth we see, anything in this earth, anything we see that's made, he says, God commanded it, and what? And he said, and they were created. In other words, God called them forth by the word of his power. Now, where did that start with? The angels. That's who he's talking about. He's telling, first of all, the angels to praise him, and then he's telling us how they came into existence. All right? Just watch with me. Now, the time of their creation is never specified, but it had to be before Genesis 1. Probably it occurred in the connection with the creation. Go with me, if you will, Genesis 1, and let's see what happened. I'm looking at what he says here, and he included the angels here, but they were the first one mentioned. And he said he commanded, and they were created. But look with me when he made creation of earth as we know it, and physical life and molecules and matter. Look what it did, he said. If you look in verse 6, he said, let there be a firmament. Verse 9, let the waters under the heavens be gathered. What is that, folks? The commanding of his word. The calling forth. You say, that's reason I can't believe it, because nobody has that power. God does. Amen. And God says, this is the way it is. Everything you see, he called it into existence so far. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and a half day. He called it forth. You go through all of these. Let the lights in verse 14. Let the waters in verse 20. Let the earth in verse 14 bring forth living creatures. And he goes through. And God blessed them, and he said, called them to be fruitful. Now, what I'm saying to you, what 148 says about angels, along with these other things that God said he created in Genesis 1, he said along with the angel, he commanded, and they were created. I believe with all my heart, God called every angel individually together at one calling. How many? The Bible talks about numerous of them. Notating how many they are. Let's see how many. Get this now. When God stood there before he ever made the earth, he created the angels, millions and millions, thousands on thousands, 10,000 on 10,000, the Bible talks about, with the word of his power. He called them into existence. They were a spiritual being that could think with God, uses the same process we use, idea to our belief system. They could communicate, they could talk, carry a conversation, but they had invisible bodies in the sense of what material things were, because they were in the spirit where God's at. Where John said it, that to the woman of Samaria, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So here they are in the spiritual world with no matter created whatsoever at this time. And God is dealing with them. Thousands of them, millions of them. Now, I want you to note, God called them existence. Now, like I said before, maybe he did it after the creation of heaven, right before he created the earth. In Job chapter 38, I want you to turn there with me. In Job chapter 38, and look down about verse 4 through 7. Now, God is speaking to Job, and Job's been through a lot, and he's coming back and answering Job some questions and so forth, and he's kind of a reprimand. In verse 1, he said, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darken counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thou now the loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou of me. Then watch what he says. Watch these words now, folks. Listen to it, because here's something going to clear up something about the sons of God before Genesis. He said, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth, declaring that if thou hast understanding? Now, give me an understanding here. Where is the foundations of the earth started? Genesis 1. Now, he's saying, Job, where were you when I found the foundation there? You have to be. That's where God started. Even though it was void for a period of time, that's where it started. And then later, the Holy Spirit moved upon the waters. You know what happened? And things began to take place, and God began to create, as we know, on this planet and that was here, for time is without form of a void. Now watch what he says, though. Where was I when I laid and declared foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. In other words, if you know, tell me where I was at before before a man came along, before Job came along, before Adam, which was really the descendants of Job, Job was the descendants of Adam. Watch this. Who hath hid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line thereof? Now watch this. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone therewith? Now watch. He's going back and said, Job, you tell me who laid the cornerstone, the foundation, what you see. Now who you tell me how the starting of that was done. How did it come about? Today you have evolution, everything else. But he's saying, Job, where did this come from? And Job in his mind knows that God had to start it. Now, here's what I want you to get, though, at this time. He said, and when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, this word sons of God here throws you, because, ladies and gentlemen, how could they be sons of God if Adam has not ever been born? You say, but wait a minute, what about the angels? You never find anywhere in the Bible angels are called sons of God. They're called sons of angels. So now I've got a problem. I've got a statement in the scripture said sons of God that it's going to take more than just, well, I believe this. And because when I go back to Genesis 6 at the flood, I see there's a problem. Because there's giants in the land. And it's hard for us to understand how could there be sons of God. Now, what I want to do, the sons of God shouted for joy before the foundation of the world. It seems like that there were great numbers of angels at the first day when they were actually created. I'm going to hold this for a minute, and then I'll come back to it. I want to look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm getting an idea how many there were, and then we'll come back and get a little more about them. Hebrews chapter 12, if you look with me down about verse 22, he's talking about, if you go back a few verses, he's talking about verse 18, for you're not coming to the mount that might be touched, that burnt with fire. He's talking about the child of God, the believer now, versus those under the Levitical system, Old Testament. You're not coming to the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, and to the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of the words, and so forth. You're not come there, for they cannot endure that what was commanded, which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be its own, or thrust through the heart with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. He said, when God came to them on that mountain, well, Israel had to go to get the law and everything else, what happened was so bad that even Moses was scared. But wait a minute now, he's comparing that to the church. Look in verse 22. He says, but ye are not coming to a Mount Zion, but ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. He said, you've not gone where Moses is at. You're free. You've come to the Mount Zion, Jerusalem, the capital, where innumerable millions and billions of angels, you can't count on this, so many of them, have been created. Now, when I see that, look with me in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 26. Look in 26 with me, verse 53. Here Jesus is talking about when he's going to die. Then Jesus said in verse 52, then Jesus said unto him, put up thy sword. This is when Peter, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter cut off the ear of that soldier. Jesus said, put up thy sword, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the short sword. Watch verse 53 though. And then Jesus said this. In the garden that night, when those men went to arrest him, and Peter, you know, stood up, tried to defend him. He said in verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray? Jesus is praying now. He said to Simon, you don't think, let me put in his word, you don't think that you don't know that I can call to my Father in prayer, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? You know how many that many is? Ladies and gentlemen, a legion is said somewhere between somewhere 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. Now, if you take the 6,000 top side of that and 12 legions, Jesus is saying, did you not know that my Father could send 72,000 angels to deliver me if he wanted? He wouldn't need but one, but he could send 72,000. Now, if he's got 72,000 sent just one place, can you imagine? There's no way you can know. There's millions and billions of angels. And they'd have to be just about. As we look at them, and I'll show you why. Because the Bible in Hebrews tells us they're ministering spirits. And if you go back to the book of Psalm 23, some people talk about that last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some people say that's two angels that every human being has. And if you think that way, think of the human beings living on the earth down through the years. What I'm saying to you, there's a whole lot more angels than there are humans. And get that in your mind now. And then you'll come to the conclusion what I'm saying is true later. All these facts lead up to that. Now, what I want you to do, we're talking about sons now. We go back and he said the sons of God. If you look in Job again, chapter 38. No, look in Job chapter 1 right now. I want to look in Job chapter 1. In chapter 38, you know what he... In chapter 38, he said in verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, let me ask you, when you think of, in earthly terms, sons of someone, what do you think? A mother and dad. You think about offspring, don't you? Right? In fact, I don't know of anybody. That's the reason same-sex marriages won't work. You got to have two. You got to have a seed, and you got to have a reception, which is a egg, which is called what? Ovulation. Help me out now. This is not stuff you can't talk about. Ladies, help me out. Is it not called ovulation? Why don't you educate these men a little bit? They don't know what's going on. Is that not what it's called? When you begin to ovulate, and that's all, if it doesn't ovulate, you know, there's a word, ovulate. If it begins to do that, it has to do that before anything can affect it. But that's how sons and daughters are born. Isn't that amazing? Now turn with me to Job chapter 1. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I'm taking it slow because I want you to get this. I probably won't have time to go over it again in my lifetime. Look in Job with me. I'm teaching you things that took me, I don't know how long I've been on this. It's been a long time, though. Look in Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, we have the appearing before God. And let's see. We come up now. Look with me. Let's start back in verse 5. He said, and so it was that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered a burnt offering according to the number that all of them. For Job said, it might be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in the hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. There it is again. And the Lord said, Satan, which thou have you considered? Now, watch this. I assume when I look at the sons of God saying before the foundation of the world that this is the same group. There had to be somehow or another, this group had to go before God to present them at certain times. And I believe it's the angelic form. Now, how can I do that? How can I know this? All right, I want you to follow me closely. I'm going to lay out a principle for you. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, if you look in chapter 2, let me see, maybe 3. Yes, chapter 3. If you look in chapter 3, verse 23, I'm going to show you now exactly why I believe this, because God shows us the thing I'm fixing to tell you in Adam. Watch what he says. I'm not going to read all this. You can later. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years old of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no contradiction in God's word.
Amen.
All right. What did it say? The son of Joseph, who was what? The son of Heli. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 1 with me. I'm going to read the genealogies back through David in Matthew 1 when Gabriel was going to come and tell Joseph. The book of the generation, verse 1, of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he goes all the way back through genealogies of David, and then he said he's the son of Abraham, descendants of Abraham. So he really goes back to chapter 12, Abraham, of Genesis. Didn't go back to Adam, but he went back to Genesis. Now notice, he gives all of these. He knows he begets so-and-so, begets so-and-so, begets so-and-so, begets so-and-so, begets so-and-so. You get down to verse 16. And he says, and Joseph and Jacob beget Joseph, who? The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Wait a minute. Luke said, oh my, let me read it again. Get it just like it should be. Luke said, the son of Joseph was the son of Heli. In other words, Joseph was the son of Heli. But Matthew says that Jacob begat Joseph. That means that Jacob was the dad, Joseph's dad. Now, who's right? Now, notice two words here. In Matthew, he says, he starts with Abraham and goes to David, and he says, beget so-and-so, beget so-and-so, beget so-and-so, and he comes down and he says, and Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary. So the definition here, I know that Joseph's daddy was Jacob, not Heli. So what I'm going to do, we'll go back with me to chapter 2 now, or 3. I want you to start at the end of that chapter. Well, wait a minute. Let's go this way. I want you to notice that when you look at the son of Heli and you follow these through the genealogies, if you go over and follow the genealogies of Joseph back in Matthew, you will find that they go all the way back. And I did that. I thought I marked it in my Bible. They went all the way back to Jesse and David and Solomon, right? Because the genealogy of Jesus Christ from Abraham through David went through Solomon. But if you look in chapter 3 of Luke, Solomon's not mentioned. If you get down and you look in verse 31, and which was the son of Meles, which was the son of... Well, notice they said which was the son, which was the son. It didn't say which beget. To beget meant that they produced a son. Here, this is not using the same terminology. He's the son of Matthias, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. This genealogy goes back through Nathan to David. Which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz. Now, I want you to go through, watch. We go through all of these. Which was the son of son? Which was the son? Which was the son? Which was the son? Which was the son? 37. Which was the son? Which was the son? Look at all those. 38. Which was the son of Enos? Which was the son of Seth? Which was the son of Adam? Which Adam was what? The son? Oh, what? Adam was what? Well, how can that be? Adam was not purchased. He wasn't born of water and the blood like some people talk about it. Like you see, some people think John 3, 6, John thinks Acts, no, John 3, about being born again, that the water, he said, except you be born of the water and the blood, of water and the spirit, you cannot be enter into the kingdom of God. And a lot of people think that water is the mother's water being break, earthly. But a problem with that is you trace... If you trace that all the way back, and you know, this is something questionable. You never said to it, but to me, you have to be persuaded your own mind. And when I do, when I look at that, see, I believe, and I get on these rabbit trails, I have to, but don't I forget them. I believe in John chapter 3 about the new birth, and he talks about it, except the man, well, let's go read it. That's the best way. And I'll leave you hanging, and I'll forget to bring you back to this point, all right? But in John chapter 3, he said, except a man be born again, first of all, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then, of course, you know, Nicodemus, how could he be born to go to the mother's womb? And he said, except a man be born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And people say sometimes, well, it has to be that because he's going to be born of the flesh, when be born of the spirit, and born of the spirit is water. When the water breaks, the child's born. Born of the spirit, spirit is the word of God. But And I have no quarrel. I have no quarrel with that. If someone's believe that, fine. That's not going to keep a person out of heaven. But for me, go with me now, just like I do here at this time for these genealogies, for me to start out with Abraham and come up that Joseph was the son of Jacob because he was beget. But when I start with these in Luke, I come up that he goes through David but don't go through Solomon. Solomon was the genealogy that where Christ came from the male's point. So when I get to chapter 3 of Luke, I have to realize this is not talking about Joseph in the genealogies. He's talking about that. He's talking about the son of Joseph. He's talking about son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. He was the son-in-law. And I'll tell you why. Because when you get to the end, let's go this way. Let's start here with Joseph in Matthew, and we go all the way back and get to Abraham and beget. Let's start here in Luke, and we see when you start in Joseph's day, you go past Abraham all the way to God, to Adam. And when you get there, he says that he was the son of. He didn't say beget. He said he's son of. And you get back to Adam, and he says, not that God created him, but he was the son of God. How could that be? Hear me, and we got to close. God created Adam from the dust of the ground. That's how he brought him to existence. God created Eve from Adam's side. That's how he brought her into existence. And when he brought these two together, now everything else in the human race will come because God created Adam and Eve, which made him the creation of them, but you and I are created because I was born in his family. I was beget. Not only was I beget, but I was a son. And so I go back in Adam's day now, and I see that Adam was created by God in essence. So God says that Adam was his son by creation. Eve was his daughter by creation. But everyone else who comes into existence comes in through God's created form of power, formula of a man and a woman coming together, holy matrimony, love each other, attracted, and produce offspring. That's a new, every time a child is born, is a new creation. God brings new creations of human beings through procreation, and that's through natural birth. He's the author of both. And so he calls that, so I can see now what God is showing us, that Mary's genealogy, who is the tabernacle or the house that Jesus lived in until he was born 9 months later, goes all the way back through Nathan, through David, to have access to the throne. But that's not the federation head, which we're going to come to later, because it's Adam who's the federation head. Why? Because it's Adam that produces the child. An egg can ovulate all it wants to, but unless Adam's there, he's not going to do anything but be shed. So now God's got my head clear. God's the author of Adam. God says he's like my son. He is my son as far as that is, because I'm the one that birthed him from the dust. I made him out of the dust of the ground, blew him to the breath of life. And now he's I took Eve. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this will show you when we finish, there's no way in this world a woman can ever be the federation head of the human race. So the feminine movement is wrong. I'm going to throw some cogs here. The thought of the feminine movement can be as equal to Adam. I'm going to Galatians chapter 5, for that's where they get this thing at. But if you look at it, there can only be one head. And God has shown us. When you come to Matthew, you come back through Solomon to David, and Jesus Christ has a right to sit on the throne because David is the one who sat on the throne in the Old Testament. He had access to the throne. So now both ways, God has got it set up that when his son should come, the seed that's sown through the years, the millions and peoples have been born. When Jesus Christ comes, God cuts his Adam's seed off. And God's seed is planted. Mary's just doing the same things that have been done ever since. She came from Abraham, just doing the same thing, being the producing the situation where a child can be born if the right elements are there. I wish I could. I'm leaving a little bit. What I want you to show, I'm going to say this to you, and then I'll hush. Oh, I pay, folks, this is precious to me. Then some people wonder why. Listen, I'm telling you, God will help you be convinced about something if you study it like you should, that where you'll be persuaded, and it'll be in context when you do that. Now, I want to just say this, and maybe to whet your thinking a little bit. If God, and we're going to look at the Federation Head, how Adam's Federation Head, not Mary, and what can happen when that happens, and what is meant in Galatians chapter 5. But if God Almighty, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. I got to give you this, folks. Let me just say that if Adam and Eve been from the hand of God, watch this. In this system, when you talk about, I'm going to go through the Federation Head and talk about that in depth later, but I want to show you just something to give you a blessing right now tonight to leave on. If Adam and Eve, who is created by the hand of God, in him is set up a system that whereas comes from all the human race down to the time God closes this out. So what's going to happen there when Jesus Christ comes through the system and sin is cut off and he has done what he did on Calvary to pay the sin debt, he also becomes a federation head of the new generation or the born-again child of God, which is the head of the church. So Jesus, when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam sinned, leave out, we talk about her sin, and that's another thing somebody said, well, when Eve sinned, she wasn't born of Adam, she was made from Adam, and they have all kinds of crazy, I'm going to go some of that. These people call it egalitarianisms, or something like that, anyhow. So if Adam and Eve, if Adam himself, in his system, when he failed, everyone who's born to the end of the age fail. You know why? Because the scripture says that we were in his loins. Isn't it an amazing thing? You and I were in Adam's loins back in those days. When you look at it on the basis that Adam is the, well, let's go, let me, I'm talking about the spiritual side. Let me say, Adam is concerned, we were in his loins. As far as Abraham was concerned, all the Jews were in his loins. We came another direction. But all human beings since Adam's day that's been born was in his own loins. Therefore, when Adam fell, the whole human race fell. But when Jesus Christ came along and Adam was cut off his sin direction, and now God's blood's put there, he's born in Mary, Jesus is the federation head of the new creation. And so all of those who have died in Adam, Romans 5, you're going to look at this, and I'm going to give you scripture later. I'm going to give you scripture everything I'm talking about, but I'm giving it to you now without scriptures. So when Adam sinned, the whole human race sinned. So when Jesus Christ brought life, then he gives the federation head of the life. All of those who are in Adam can be got out of it if they'd be what Jesus Christ did in Romans 10:9-10. And that's what's so amazing about this thing. Now, why can't the angels be done that way? Because angels cannot reproduce. Every being, quadrillion angels ever made was made individually. They were not reproduced. There's no federation head. If you had a federation head of angels, you'd have to have a federation head of every angel that was born, that was made, because God made them all individually. They were not born from a federation. They came from the hand of God. So did you know, ladies and gentlemen, if God had redeemed the angels, he'd had to bring a Savior for each individual angel. And he didn't do it. But for us, in his great majestic mind, he looked and saw what would happen, but he arranged that where he didn't come and create us by his hand individually, he created Adam and Eve and set up a process so that we would be born individually, or by two or three at times, sometimes quadruplets. But they'd come from Adam through the process. Therefore, Adam's the federation head of the human race, and Jesus is the federation head of the family of God. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Bless your word, Lord, as we go through it. I have no desire to teach an error. I have the desire to teach what you show me the last few months and years, Lord, but some of this in the last few months putting it together. And it makes great sense to our mind. We're looking at the angels now and how God, and we've tied it together a little bit ahead of time to give an idea of where we're headed, but we're looking at the angels now and how what God has said about them and what's going on in that world, and we'll pick up more of that next week. In Jesus. Then we'll go to Adam and man, and we'll pick up, and then we'll tie it together, and more so at the end, and see how wonderful it is that God works it out as we look at Scripture, and the Scripture tells us these things in context. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.